We can begin. The topic today is very interesting, in my opinion.
Interesting,
very exciting topic. It's the next one. What joy in everything. It's like the where everything is so better understood at. Everything is like has meaning there. Okay, we pray to God, our Father, asking Him to give us more awareness of His fatherhood, His care of us, His love for us, that we are the apple of His eyes, as He said in the Bible. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We pray to Mary, asking her a humble heart, always open to the action of God in us, in the little things. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and the hour of our death. Amen. Understanding that we are temples of God, God dwells in us, the mystery of God is within us. Give glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay, today we are going to try to join things and put them together better. I mean, If you are not able to connect the things, very important to connect them. I mean, everything is connected because it's the plan of God. That is what we are trying to understand better, how the Creator of all things work in us and in our lives. And so we go to the what we have seen already. The first, well, you have any questions? So long from 20 so long. And the questions maybe are resolved. So first is the love of God. So how the principle, the foundation, the starting point of a spiritual life is the love He has for me and for us. So that is the starting, and that is where we have to go always. That love is manifest in Jesus, crucified. That is the way God loves me. I mean, and He loves us. That is the beginning of faith, is that it's not about things, it's about love. The love of God has for us. When in faith we talk about things, we are mistaken. We are talking about the other religions. And because this ours is about the love of God for us. And the other things are coming from there. And how we learn to open to that love is how we grow in a spiritual life. So that love of God, as you know, is connected with being a child of God. It's living from God, living from His love. And that is a child. A child is one who lives from the love of his, her parents, no? That is a child, needs that love. And that means to be a child. And all the scripture is, especially the New Testament, is becoming a child, becoming little in the love of God. And we know at the same time that inside us, there is a correspondence. There is a thing that fit with this love of God, that is our desire of being loved. The desire of being loved, as we have talked, is the strongest desire we have in our hearts. Appreciated, wanted, valued, recognized, popular in the expression, famous. I mean, it's a thousand of expressions, and all of them are focused in the same place. We need love because we are created a person. So there are a lot of things that are here with that principle of everything that is the love of God. This principle, not as beginning, principle as fountain, as source of everything, is the love of God. But we are persons because we are a gift. So that means that we are loved. So there are a lot of things that are connected with this need we have of love. Being a person is being loved. When you are not experiencing yourself as loved, you are not experiencing yourself as a person. But that is part of creation. That is not only part of redemption. Is that we are persons because we are loved. We are not persons by redemption. We are persons by creation. And that means that we are a gift. All creation is a gift. Everything is a gift. But there is a being who is aware of that. And that we call it person. That is aware of being a gift. And that is what our parents in the psychological level convey us. When they don't do it well, no problem. We open to God and we work it. That is a spiritual life, because there are a lot of parents that are not good with their children, and each day more. So the problem is now how we are letting that love of God to come to our hearts, and how we live as a gift, because we are a gift. We are loved by our own sake, not by other reason. We are a goal in the love of God. That means that we are not a means. We are not means for other things. So God don't use us for other things. God loves us as persons, which means as goal. That is loving a person. And that is something that children learn with their parents. The weaker in a good family, the weaker is the child, the more is the love of the parents. No? If a child is a Down syndrome, he receives more love from everyone. If a person with any kind of disabilities receive, usually in a good family, receive more love. No? Why? Because it's this dimension of the gift that we learn through the experience of our relationship with our parents. So we are created for living from love. Created means our being, our eyes, our ears, our all our existence, all what we are and we have in our being is created for living from love. So we have a deep, strong necessity of love. I can close it. Yes. And that need of love is of every human being. Everyone is looking for love in this world. You analyze what is the world, it's all a craving for love. All Twitter, Facebook is I like it. So somebody pay you attention. Somebody recognize the picture you have put there. Somebody take a moment of care of you. It's all about that. And the people are so empty that they need these things that are not very good. But it's there. There is a deep need of people of being recognized. Look at me, please, please look at me. Even the desire is so strong that the children, when they are little and they have a brother, they get in jealousy. No, as you know, those you have children, you know how they get when the younger comes, they are in jealousy. And sometimes it's crazy how they begin return to former behavior of childhood for being loved, and they pay attention to them. It's so strong, this desire. Why? Because I insist we are created by the Creator for living from love. Our parents represent that, and salvation is opening to that love. That is salvation. Salvation is learning to open to the love of God. We'll go a deeper step, that love is mercy. Okay, we will go in next meditations, in understanding the thing. But the first thing is that we need love, because the love of Jesus is mercy. He is the Savior. Because He saved us from our lack of love. What is our lack of love? It's sins. That's what we call lack of love. Lack of love that we have for others, and the lack of love other people has had with us. And that is the two dimensions of humanity. So, but Jesus came to repair the sins, saviors of the sins, because He will free His people from their sins. But what is our sins? Sins are all things that are contrary to love. In my experience as a person and in my actions to others, no? That is a sin. Sin, no, is not an idea of thinking, no. A sin is an act that is contrary to love. And Jesus came to repair that problem in humanity. Why? And how can I repair a problem of lack of love? In my understanding, only one way, giving love. So when I don't have love, I need to open to love. I need to open to the love of God. And that is a constant process that we have to learn, because we understand that somebody loves us in our weakness, in our lacks, in our flaws, in our incapacities, in our poverty, in our nothingness. He loves there us. And that is what we have always to come back and come back and come back and restore that. Whatever is happening in our life and whatever is coming to my heart. That is the principle and foundation of everything in a spiritual life. The love of God for us. That was the first meditation. That love of God, we have a second movement of the heart. That is not only the love of God, we are also called for living from love. The way I live from love is the way I accept myself. If you understand that you are loved, you accept yourself. And this is the only way of healing all the gender problem, is bringing them to the love of God, so they accept what they are in the plan of God. Not in the relationship with their parents and that distort their hearts and their way of understanding themselves. Because obviously they want to be a different person because they were not loved in how they were. Obviously, because if you are loved in who you are not wanting to be another kind of identity. You are conformed and glad with your identity. No, it's obvious. I mean, it's so simple to understand the problem. Of course, the problem is that they don't have love as children, and now their affectivity is disordered and is disoriented because they don't have a father, they don't have a good mother, they don't have people that brings them to love. But the only way of healing these people is bringing them to be children of God. It's very good. The Richard Cohen, that is a guy who has some videos in YouTube, he was an homosexual. He's a psychologist that helps people to heal their problem. And his conversion, he talked there was first reading the Bible with a friend. They were in a relationship, but they were like Christians, and they began to read the Bible, and they understood one moment that they cannot live that kind of life. And he talked about one of the tests that affect him more is 1 John, I think it's chapter 3, verse 1, we say, we are children of God. Really, truly, we are children. There is not manifest that you are a child of God. You are loved by God. That is what, and now he's married and with children and having a normal life. Why? Because all the problem we have is this. The root of all human problems is lack of love. All psychological, but Freud, it is the same thing. Freud was a poor guy with a poor family. Sick, both, father and mother. I mean, I'm not going there. But it's there. I mean, the fatherless, there is even a book that is called Fatherless and Atheism. It's an American guy. It's Paul Rith, or what is his name? Fatherless and Atheism. How that lack of love of a father bring people to hate God, to don't want to have a relationship with God because the relationship with the dad was not good. Because when you have a good father, why? You are not going to open to the one who is infinite goodness and love. And so our experiences of God are connected very strongly with our childhood. Why? Because it's the way we understand God. People understand God in their childhood. The first experience of God is not an intellectual experience. It's not, no, the first experience of God is the relationship with my parents. For me, my parents were God. As for you, when you were little, they were everything. Everything is everything. The fountain of love, of security, of wisdom, of divine providence. And it was high. How our hearts are molded in the affective level is how was our relationship with our parents. In psychoanalysis, so the Freud topic, all is trying to bring the person to the childhood experiences for healing them. But we can do that with God directly. We don't need to be afraid of the problems we have inside us. I mean, we can open them to the one who is love and is able to bring us to his love. Christian life is all about this. Yes?
Is it more so the experience that a child has? Is it mainly with the father or
with both?
With the mother the same way?
No, my opinion is that the mother is more like origin, no? The mother is more like fountain. The mother is the one who gives life. It represents God in the dimension of creator. No? In my opinion. The mother is more like the source. In fact, is the one who generates the child in her womb. So everything is coming from her for the child. And that is the dimension of the mother. The father is more about the other thing that we are going to talk now, that is more about the goal. So how he guides you toward your humanity and your maturity. So the mother is more about receiving you and accepting you and understanding yourself as a gift, because the mother is more kindness and compassion and mercy and all these things that are helpful for the child for accepting himself. So he's the one who takes care of this little thing of the child. The man is more about the goal, the other desire that we have that is spiritual, because we have two spiritual desires. One is the desire of being loved. That is a spiritual desire. Animals don't have a desire of being loved. They don't care if they are loved or they are not loved. I mean, even dogs, they don't care. Even we think that they care, they don't care. You let a dog, don't hit the door, give food to the dog, let it run, let him do his necessities, and he's perfect. But you know, you do your necessities, you eat food, and you can't run, and you are not perfect, because you need love. The dog doesn't even, it's an affective animal that God has created for us, of course, because there are so many people lonely that it's an animal of company, no? We call even that. But I insist, this desire is very strong, because this desire, when it is not in God, is selfishness itself. Selfishness is not a thinking. Selfishness is the desire of being loved that is not in God. It's in me, and now it's in the world. It's how the others treat me, how the others love me, how the others appreciate me, how the others consider me, how the others value me. And it's all thinking about how the others. And we are a slave of that. I mean, girls at 11, 12, 13 years, it's an obsession. They can be sick with anorexia, bulimia, because that desire of being loved is so strong that can disfigure and distort the understanding on themselves in the body. Because if nobody opens them, if they don't have a father for opening them to the misery of their interior life and a mother, they are lost. It's all physical, it's all body. And now they are obsessed with the body. There are a lot. And there are going to be more. Why? And it's happening to boys also. And it's clear, I mean. In our parish, we have one child when he's about 19 and he's there. Has to be in the hospital. Now he's healing a little, but very, 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 very slowly. He was in the point of dying because starvation, because he was not eating. And you let him and he doesn't eat. And he died. It's crazy, but it's an image that I have before the others, because my body is how the others understand me. I don't see my body. My body, I have an image of my body, an idea of my body, but I don't see my body. So it's how I understand myself, what makes the problem in the people. And they look, they are totally in the bones, and only bones, and they're only skin and bones, and they look and they think that they are fat. It's crazy. But why? Because this desire of being loved, because all they found it, that they are not going to look me, and now become something obsessive totally in the head, and it's so difficult to get out from these things. But I insist, this desire is connected with our parents, and the reason we have so many problems for opening to God. Because my parents were my first experience of God. For a child, they are everything. I mean, the child needs the parents for eating, for drinking, for sleeping, for anything. And they take care of him. He cries, they come. The world of the child is his, her parents. That is the world of the child. So, and they take care of him. And what the experiences of the child, when probably you know, have heard something about Jung. The archetypes are not in the mind. The archetypes are experiences that every human being has in relationship with the parents. And reality, the archetype of light, the archetype of the mother, the archetype of the feminine, are things. Archetype means that we have like ideals in our desires and in our head from childhood. And these are coming from the experience we had with reality, because light is amazing, because everything is amazing when we are little. When we grow, we stop of wonder, and we destroy ourselves. Because wonder is the beginning of wisdom and is the beginning of love. And without wonder, we are mediocres in our life. Because wonder is the beginning of contemplation. And our fullness of humanity is in contemplation. So what I mean is that we need love for that. Because why a child stop living and begin to think? Because it is the desire of being loved. It's when he began to experience that his parents are not loving him. And now he begins to think for escaping from the situation, because you cannot endure that your parents don't love you. You cannot support that. Why? Because it's the meaning of your life is being a person. And the moment your parents don't love you, what is the meaning of your life? Any. It's the same thing with divorce. When the people divorce, there is a strong problem in the heart of the children. Why? Because now, where I am coming? I am not coming from the love of my parents. Because that is the experience of a child, no? Even he's not so little. He's experiencing that the source of the origin of his existence, that was the love of his parents, it was not real. So they don't have love. They are battling we don't go there, but you can understand everything is connected with this. I mean, it's a huge, big point. But we need that. And here the point is not what is the psychological problem. I try to bring psychological things so we understand the depth of the problem and the depth of the need that we have of love. For accepting, only that, accepting, being calm down. Why? Because you are love. Exactly as you are. You don't need nothing. Nothing is nothing. You only need your truth to come out. So you can open more to the love of the source of love, that is God. He's the fountain, he's the source, and he's the principle. And our spiritual life has to come always here to what? Faith is about the love of God. We will see it in a deeper way, but you know the text of Jean Paul, I am crucified. I live, but not me. It's Jesus who lives in me. Because I live by faith in the Son of God who died and suffered for me. So I'm living from his love. That's what St. Paul is saying. If faith is about that. I am crucified in what? That the things that are happening, because St. Paul was stoned twice, was in prison, was persecuted, was insulted, and he keep in the love of Jesus in those situations. He didn't close to the love of Jesus in those situations. Why? Because he understood that Jesus died for him and loved him, and that was his power, that keeping in that love. I live from the love of Jesus. I let Jesus live in me. How? Letting his love. And you can go to John 15, it's saying, I am the vine, you are the branches. Remain in my love. You remain in my love, you will bear fruit. Without me, you can do nothing. Without me, what means? Without my love. Remain in my love means that without my love, you can do nothing. And the problem is that because original sin, we go very easy. And we are putting that desire of being loved outside. But I insist, that desire of being loved is selfishness itself and the root of the seven capital sins. In English, you don't put this in the seven. In Spain, we put it. Capital or deadly sin. It's the root. What? The desire of being loved, not in God. That is the reason everyone needs salvation. That is the reason of announcing the gospel. Because everyone is in a deep need of love. In Asia, in wherever. I mean, that is the reason announcing the gospel is because of that. Because the love of God. And we need missionaries the same as in the beginning of the church. Because people are with a deep lack of love in their lives. And this means a lot of problems. And all is selfishness. Science is, when a person is not living from the love, and there I am, there are you, there is every one of us. I mean, don't think that the others need that and I don't need that. You need love. In the measure you are opening to God, you are losing that selfishness and you are opening to love the others. But until you or me or whoever in this world is not open to the love of God, continue living in selfishness. Is clear what I am saying? It's very important. I mean, why? Because this is a way that is learning to open to the love of God, to the Holy Spirit, so we can put our desires instead of the desires of the flesh. You know, I can bring here the gospel, but we will not finish. We will stay in the first meditation, that is important, but it's not the whole thing. Desire of the flesh is that. Against the desires of the Spirit. The desire of the Spirit is when I am letting the Holy Spirit work in me. And now there are fruits. The first is love, peace, joy, patience, kindness, amability, self-control. Everything is there. And God wants to give that, because there are desires that give us what we want. But we have, as St. Paul saying, to crucify our desires. What? The other desires. Because from here are coming the other desires. What? The seven capital sins are seven desires. The seven capital sins are not seven thinkings or seven thoughts. No, the seven capital sins are seven desires. A desire now about myself, of being great, that is pride. Thinking about me, that I am a great person, I am wonderful, I am marvelous, I am whatever kind of thoughts we have about ourselves that don't bring us to the truth of our weakness and our poverty and our nothingness and our sinfulness and our lack of love. Because we can sum up all the words that I was saying in one: we don't love. And there is. But that is, now vanity, what is? Now it's a desire that the others think greatly about me, that they honor me, they recognize me, but it's a desire. What is anger? A desire that my will be done. But my will is not being done, because never is being done my will. And now I get upset and frustrated and disappointed and unhappy because my will is not being done. And you can go to everyone. Lust is the same. It's a desire of the others love me, and now it's in my imagination that they love me in my body, physically, and it's there. That is the essence of all pornography, is the desire of being loved. But it's there working in so many people. Why? Because we are created for living from love. And the only way of healing impurity of heart and this is opening our hearts to the love of God. And that is something that the women has to know, because they don't know that. They married their husband and they think that they are going to resolve the problem of their husband in sexuality. Maybe. I don't think so. I'm a priest and a confessionary. It's not resolved. Why? Because the only one who resolved the desire of being loved is God. It's not a woman. The woman is for opening you to the mystery of God. That is the mystery of the woman, as we talk about that. And we need to open to that love. And that is something a father has to teach her daughters. Or his daughters. Why? That you cannot fulfill a heart of a man. You can bring a man to God. And that's your mission as a woman. As we saw also. So this is the first desire. It's very strong. It controls everything in human life. Because we are looking for it constantly. In some way or other. The other desire that God has put in us. Two desires that are spiritual. Which means that only God can fulfill them. That means spiritual. Spiritual means personal at the same time. When we are not in the personal, so in the communal dimension of the Spirit, because the Spirit is communion, and is God is a Spirit, but at the same time is communion of persons. So the spiritual is communion with other. When I am not with other, I am lonely. I am in the psychological level. That is the same as the desires of the flesh. That is the psychological level. The Buddhism is here. It's a psychological level. It's nothing spiritual. Because spiritual is always about other. And the Buddhist is nothing about other. It's all about me and how I make myself happy. That is Buddhism. It's not bad. I'm not saying that that is bad. It's selfish. Because it's about how I get happiness, how I get my satisfaction, and now getting there. And you can see it because they have been 4,000 years, or how many years they want to be, the more, the worse for them, there in India, and they never take care of any one of the poor people who are there. Because they are only looking for themselves. I mean, that is the truth and the reality. It has to come, the Christian, the missionaries, not Mother Teresa, but a lot of other before, that began to take care of the poor. And those who have nothing. They don't care. They care more about a cow than a person. Why? Because for them there are no person, because there is not a spiritual dimension. It's all psychological. It's clear what I am saying? It's understandable also, no? It's not bad. But it's all looking for my satisfaction. I feel well. I feel well, that is all. Christian life, no. You don't feel well. Now you need to love. You need to grow. You need to mature. You need to come to God. And it's all it's all spiritual because it's all personal. What means personal? Of love and communion. There is nothing communion in fact, the Buddhist, the perfect is the tree. It's not the person, because the tree don't move and is totally connected with nature and is the perfection. You see Buddha and you see always a tree there behind him. But in Christian life, the perfection is a guy who is crucified for love to the others, because he's living from the love of the Father. And because he's living from the love of the Father, he's the fountain of love for others. It's totally different. It's personal and it's communal. Spiritual, these words may keep them always united. Spiritual, personal, and communal. And Christian life is there. When you are alone, when you are thinking, you are in the psychological level. The psychological level is bad. No, but for us, the psychological level has been created by God for the spiritual level. So when the psychological is working by itself, it's selfish, it's egocentric, and can't be in any other way. It's clear what I am saying? Can't be. Why? Because it's the spiritual who opened me to love and opened me to give myself to others, understanding that I am created for a communion of love, not for satisfying my ego in my own self. And in the nowadays world, it's a lot of this, even in the Christian church, in the Catholic church, a psychological dimension. So I satisfy myself. It's not about satisfying yourself, it's about fullness of God, who can bring to your heart if you open to him and you let him to be God, instead of looking to your belly button. That is what the Buddhists are doing all the day. This is all focusing in themselves. it's sad. So, first movement. It's clear, this point, because it's very important, because today we are going to a point and we understand what is the plan of God and how God works here. So first, the creator to create, that is the other meditation we see, is that creating is loving. God is creator because out of nothingness, he decided to create this world. And he gave, and giving is love. The more you give, the more you love, no? And that is creation. Creation is an act of love of God. You are a person because you are love. I mean, when people ask, I don't know if God loves me. I mean, try to think, God loves you because you are a person, and he loves you with a personal love. Because if not, you will not be a person. That is in the natural level. So in the philosophical understanding of reality, you don't need faith for that. In my opinion, because we are persons. I mean, we are created for living for love. That is the reason we have parents. And we are created now to be spouses and to give life to others, because we are persons. Animals don't have missions. They don't have that engraved in their nature. So this is the first thing. And the point of here is that every one of us has an interior life. And that interior life is thinking or is love. If it is thinking, is the human situation after original sin. If it is love, it's because we are Christian and we are restoring our lives to the mystery of a God who is love, through faith, hope, and charity. It's clear the point? I mean, it's very important because Christian life is about opening again to the love of God. We are closed because our sins. And we need to make an effort for that. Yes, we need to make an effort for that. It's what is called ascetic dimension of a spiritual life. Making an effort for not letting my ego to take the place of God. I am crucified with Christ because I live through faith. I don't let my ego take the place of God. That is what he's saying, because he's not crucified in any way. He has no nails. No? Where St. Paul is talking there, he's talking to the Galatians. I know I'm crucified. What are you talking? He's crucified because he had decided that he's not letting his ego to take the place of God. Because I am living through faith. But what is faith? Faith is about other who is living in me, who is Jesus, who is within me, and I am living from his love because he died and suffered for me, for showing me the love he has for me. And that is faith. Faith is opening to the love of God. Faith is not for thinking, it's for opening to the love of God. And the enemy knows that, and this is the reason he's always closing us and putting us in our thinking and in our little problems. Because the only way of being in reality, in being, this is, has 1,000,000,000 consequences. I mean, the only way of being in reality, being in the truth, of being living in the body, is being a child. So living from the love of others. as the children show us, no? Little children are always in the present moment. Why? Because they are loved. When a child is loved, he has no problems. He is always enjoying everything. You know, they are always playing, and they are always glad. When they begin to grow, they begin to have problems because they begin to think. Why? Because they experience that they are not loved by their parents, and now they need to think for God, how I am going to get love. I mean, there are other problems there, but so it's important that we understand this dimension of our hearts, because that's the point. I mean, we are being created for living from love. The Creator is the Redeemer. So Jesus came to resolve the problem of creation. That is the reason creation is crying in because was surrendered to frustration, to futility, and is crying for the manifestation of the children of God. That is what this creation is crying. No, it's Romans 8. It's there. But it's because was subjected to futility, so to a superficiality and a stupidity that is this world, that is deep, deep, deep. So, first desire is that. Second desire that we have is the desire of happiness. Because we are not only beings, we are not only I am. Okay, do good. There are a lot of books written about that, even American psychologists. Being, we have to be. Yes, it's true, we have to be. We have to accept our being and who we are and not trying to think and go further and stay in reality. All Buddhism is about that, is trying to stay in reality, try to stay in the present moment, because if not, you are going to be really unhappy. But we are always here. I mean, you test yourself and you will see that. The hours that you are awake, if you have 16 hours awake, 17, you are here. Because dreaming also, sometimes. I mean, God is there. And we are created for living in the body. So living in reality. So but for that, you need to understand that you are love and to accept that you are love and to keep there. Second, desire. So first is the desire of being loved. This is about more the present, about here, reality. But we are beings of projection. We are beings that are walking toward the future because we have inside us a desire. We are pilgrims, and we are in a pilgrimage. We're talking that we are walking toward happiness. And that we are walking toward happiness is because our will is a desire of happiness. So my most intimate faculty, what rules my behavior, my action, my choices, is my desire of happiness. So with the desire of being loved, that it's more about how I am receiving myself, how I am accepting reality, how I am understanding myself, how I don't pretend to be what I am not. I mean, this is the desire of being loved. Now there is another that is, they are connected, of course, because both are spiritual and they are personal. So only God can fulfill them. So now it's all that how I am looking to the future, what I am choosing and what I am doing. And they are connected because if I am open to the love of God, now I understand that happiness is in one place, that is the first commandment, no? Why God has put the first commandment so clear? The first commandment is indicating you and me where is happiness. Love God with all your heart, all your strength, all your being and all your soul. Why? Because you love happiness with all your heart, all your strength, all your being and all your soul. As me, as everyone. You need to ask anyone, do you want to be happy? Everything he's doing is doing for it for being happy. Your children, your husband, everyone in the world is doing the thing for being happy. If he thinks that he's going to be unhappy, he doesn't do it. Or he does it complaining because something worse is going to happen. If he doesn't do that. But I mean, you as me are moved by this desire. So this is more about my being, but this is more about how I achieve the fullness of my humanity. have I achieved the accomplishment of all my desires? And that is what we call happiness. That is a desire God has put in our human will for looking for Him. We read that in, you know, in the Catechism of the Church, the first number of the Catechism of the Church. To you, because it's very important that we get the things. I mean, and everything that you are doing in your life is between these two desires. Everything is everything. Your wife, your children, everything in human history, you can understand it from these two desires. Because are the spiritual desires. It's what makes us humans in difference with the animals. And you want to understand human history, go here and you will understand why people wrote what they wrote, why people do what they do, why people think as they think is for this. Because everyone is necessarily looking for satisfying these two desires. Because they are spiritual and are our very relationship with God. We don't put them in God. Okay, no problem. Prepare to suffer. But at least don't complain. Because you are choosing where you are putting your desires. I mean, so simple as that. You want to put them in other places? Okay, put in other places, but don't complain. Why? Because God has put those desires in us, so we look for Him. You know, this number 27 of the Catechism of the Church is so powerful that it's good to repeat it. The desire for God is written in the human heart because man is created by God and for God. So the two dimensions. Created means loved by God. And God never ceases to draw man to Himself. So God is always calling to you. How? To this desire. And also to this other desire. Only in God will find the truth and happiness He never stops searching for. The happiness He never stops searching for. You cannot stop that desire. It's impossible. It's ruling whatever you are doing in your life. The thing is how you are opening it to God, because that is spiritual life. Spiritual life is learning to open my desires to God. And prayer is for that. Prayer is not for thinking. It's not for reading books. It's not for going to the Bible. It's for opening my desires to God. Because the Bible is a book about these two desires. It means to be a child of God, and then it means the first commandment that is called charity at the same time. No, it's written in Deuteronomy 6:4-7. Shema Israel, listen Israel. The Lord your God is the only God. Don't create other gods. Don't be an idolater. Don't create other gods. Love your God with all your heart, all your strength, all your being and all your soul. Because you are always loving happiness. But where are you putting happiness? Where I am putting happiness, that is my God. And it's so concrete as my choices that I have done during this day. All the choices you have done during this day is for your happiness. And that is your God. So we can know constantly if I am looking for God or I am looking for me. I mean, why? What means looking for God? Looking for the one who is happiness. What means? Looking for the union with God. That is the first commandment. How I achieve that union, that is the goal of everything, is through love. That is the reason of the first commandment. Love Him with all your heart, all your strength, all your being, and all your soul. Some question. This is the other desire that is ruling everything. People are looking for money because they think that they are going to be happy if they have money. They are looking for sex because they look. So where you put your desire of happiness, and that is another thing that I think is important to get from here. Where my happiness is, that is my God. But the problem of this desire is that that desire is your will. Your will desire happiness. But now I am acting, I am choosing in every choice, in every action that I am doing in my life, I am showing to me, to myself, to my children, to my wife, especially to me, where is my God and what is my happiness? That is a tough thing, but it's a very good thing also. It's tough if I don't want to know. It's very good if I want to know. if God really is my God or not. No? I mean, it's good. It's really good. For me, I think it's really good. If I want to know the truth, because I know His mercy, so I have not a problem for understanding that He's not my God yet. And I can have to change things inside me, because if not, I will be in the union with Him. But I'm not already in the union with Him. So that means that there are things in me that are not yet about my happiness in God. Because I insist, everything that you do in this life, everything, every choice that you have done all along your life is because you were looking for happiness. And you were looking for happiness in some place concrete. It's true that it's connected many times with this other desire. It's not, we are a whole thing. So majority of the week one happiness, a majority of people, one of the, you know, the four P's of the four places where we put happiness, one of them is being loved, is prestige. We can call it prestige, is like this. Yes. Is there. It's the desire of being loved. Honor. The same thing, no? They appreciate me, they recognize me, they value me. When we are little, we are more clear and we want love. When we grow, we look for substitutes of love. That they recognize me, they value me, they honor me, they respect me, they think that I am great or what I am good and I am whatever. Because we are looking so many times, one of the goal is at the same time the desire of being loved. But there are others that is power. It's amazing. All the politicians is only looking for one thing, power. More than money. Possession, that is money. Because money can give you power also. That's the reason people also look. And pleasure. They are usually the four places where we are usually are putting our happiness, no? Every one of us. But I mean, the thing is that when I put here my happiness, this is my God. The thing is that when we are idolaters, because we put our happiness in these things, that I do it, I mean, I recognize it, at least I have the capacity of recognizing it, that is very good in my choices, because in my choices I can know where is if God is really my God. Usually the idolaters are always polytheistic. So they have several gods, they're chained by God. Now is power, now is my prestige, now is controlling things, now is my pleasure. So we change. Only the monotheism is having only one God. So it's putting my happiness only in God. Shema Israel, the Lord your God is the only God. So love Him in that way. And you know how the text continues, that is, put these things in your heart, drill them into the heart of your children, and repeat them when you are abroad and at home, at work and at rest. So never forget that what? That happiness is only in one place, in your God. This is a process of the spirit, because original sin, my happiness is not in God, and my desire of being loved is not in God. It's in the world and in things of the world. As we see every day, but we are there also. The point is that this majority of people in the church, we are there. We are, our desire of happiness is in the same things that the atheist. What means that? That we cannot convince anyone, but I cannot convince my children. Because they see where is my happiness. They see what are my actions. And in my actions, in some way, I'm showing them what is my God. And they know it. I mean, a father, I don't want to, I mean, it's normal. I understand that people who doesn't, but a father who is putting infinite more interest in watching Broncos and knowing how the Broncos are going than in God, the children understand perfectly that God is nothing for that father. It's clear, no? I mean, it's not for bothering the people saying these things. It's because it's obvious. I mean, the children understand, I mean, okay, going to Mass is like a burden for my dad, but watching TV and 3 hours of football before, another 3 hours later, is his energy and his nourishment. It's sad, but it's the horrible reality of a church who is dying. Because there is no knowledge of God. God is fullness, God is joy, God is peace, God is a lot of things, but... And now, obviously, when God is not my God, all the problems of the seven capital sins are there for everyone. in a deep way. In a deep way. Some question about this? These are two desires that we have to meditation, that I encourage you to don't forget them and remind them. I am coming here for moving my desires. When I come to prayer, I need love, my God. I need love. I recognize it and I say that to Him. I express it to Him. I need love. I am poor. You know it. You told me that without you I can do nothing. And you told me that to remain in your love. So make words, use words and movements for opening to the love of God. I mean, we are created for living from the Holy Spirit. What means that? That God has created us for living from His love. They are children of God, those who are guided, those who are led, those who are moved by the Holy Spirit. So God is wanting that. Ask and you will receive. And you know, in Luke 11, he finished, ask and you will receive. Call and you and they will answer. Knock and will be open. He finished with these words. How? And repeat the words again. So we ask and we ask for love. How much your Father will not give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him. It's the word Jesus finished in St. Luke. In St. Matthew is how your Father will not give good things to those who love Him. For St. Luke put the sum up of all things, that is the Holy Spirit. Because it's all goods, infinite goods. Because the Creator, with the Father and the Holy Spirit. So He's the giver of everything to everyone in the universe, of every good thing. And God wants to give the Holy Spirit. So we go to prayer and we don't ask for love, because we need it for loving the others. Jesus put it very clear. I mean, there are a lot of texts. I mean, the Bible, I see, is a book about this, our desires. It's not about our thinking. So you know how John, in his chapter 4, first letter, I mean, he talked clear about how we need love. And how love is coming from Him, not from us. You know, it's the verse, I think it's 11, 1 John 4. Beginning the verse 9. First things, everyone who loves is begotten by God and knows God. I mean, amazing expression for meditating. Everyone who loves is begotten by God and knows God. Whoever is without love does not know God, for God is love. In this way, the love of God was revealed to us. God sent His only Son into the world so that we might have life through Him. What life? The life of love. The life of God. That is love. I mean, He sent His Son so we can live from the love of God, from the love of His Son. In this is love. And now put a negative. Some saints talk a lot about this. Not that we loved God. This is not love. We don't love God. That is, He knows it. He's saying it. In this is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us. And He sent His Son as expiation for our sins, for our lack of love. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also must love one another. It's amazing text, but it's talking about what is the source of love and how we open to that source. Okay, we go. It's clear the point that these two things are now, because now we have to choose. I mean, the first thing is how we are receiving love, but the same thing is how we are loving. We are created for receiving love, for being loved, and for loving. But the source of God is God. If we are not opening to the fountain, it's almost impossible. It's what he's saying there. Love is not that we love, it's that we don't love, but He sent His Son so we can love, so we can live from Him. You know the expression of Jesus when you're talking about the Eucharist, as the one who eats my body and drinks my blood will remain in me and I in him. And as I live from the Father, I live from the Father, the one who eats me will live from me. I mean, these are not saying it's God, the Creator, who is talking about this. He's asking us to return to the original plan of God that is living from Him and His love. In the moment we are not there, again, because these two desires that are spiritual has the same origin and the same goal, is God Himself. So if my desire of being loved is not in God, neither my desire of happiness is in God. It's in something about me that is usually is one of these four. And that is a huge problem in a spiritual life. Spiritual life is learning to open these two desires to God. I mean, the desire of the union with God. Now we go a little, we give another step. Some question about this? So clear everything? Or is nothing clear? So God, who is the Creator, and we have a meditation on that, He's Almighty. Now, how we accomplish these two desires, where we can, in concrete, make them real. And that is what is the point today. It's only one place. It's His divine providence. God doesn't exist out of His divine providence. His divine providence, the way He is guiding your life, even the hairs of your head. As Jesus was talking to us today, even a hair of your head will be touched. That is what He said today in the Gospel. Even in the worst situation, He is promising that divine providence of God. And don't worry about what you are going to say. I will give you the words that no enemy can will resist them. I mean, and He's talking in the worst situation because they are talking about they will kill you and they will give you to the judge and whatever. So God rules everything. That is the mystery of God. And revelation of God is revelation of His divine providence. He revealed His divine providence through a people, that is the people of Israel, teaching them that He takes care of their history. This is the essence of our relationship with God. God is creator, but that act of creation in time is called divine providence. It's how God guides and leads your life. And it's always about the present moment. It's always about here and now. It's all about your body. It's about this moment. And only that. And in this moment of your life, you can open to the love of God. And you can open to the union with God. But there is only one place that you can do that. It's true that that place has infinite degrees. It's His will. That is what is happening now and here in your life. God has a will for you. God has not created the things in a way that is, no, in everything, as we can see in science, how is the will of God so concrete in everything, how He rules everything in beauty, in power. I mean, it's amazing the power of God. Imagine in us that He has created all the whole thing for us. So the whole universe exists because God wanted to create you and to be with you and be guiding your life as the good shepherd. So you put in His hands and you come to that moment that is where He works in us. And this is the only moment that God is called divine providence by, because it's the only way of finding God. Where? Here and now. I cannot find God yesterday. I cannot find God tomorrow, because yesterday was and tomorrow will be. It's only real, the present moment. It's the only reality that is real in your life. The other things are thinking. And there is a lot of problems, of course. Because all the problems we have is because we go to the past and we go to the future. And you go to the future. Anxiety. Fear. Insecurity. And now trying to control things, how many controllers we have. Why? Because it's the fear. And the who is in fear want to control things that he doesn't control, because it's all about his head. I mean, but it's horrible. I mean, this huge problem of people, even children, have now problem of anxiety. I was talking today with, you know, her, many of you probably know her, Geraldine. You know, probably. Geraldine has been in some retreats, you know, here from the Paris, no? And she told me that she's teaching now children from 11 to 14, so I think 5th to 8th grade religion. And he told me that a lot of children take pills for anxiety. Why? Because they are already afraid of what is going to happen. They are anticipating. They are, I mean, why? Because they don't have, I mean, and the past is worse even, because the past, going to the past is anger, or resentment, or sadness. Or grudges, or reliving, or reactivating in me the what they have done me for increasing my frustration and my, it's so horrible. But how many people are here? I mean, living in the past and in the future always. So without God. And the here, what can happen in a place who is not real? Nothing is all head. It's called neurotic behavior. That is part, you know, there is a book, Horney, I think it's a very, I don't know if it's two. Karen Horney or something like that, it's a famous psychologist. She was from Germany, she came to the United States, disciple of Freud, but she changed everything. She's a good woman, intellectually powerful. And she wrote about the neurotic behavior of our times. It's a book, very famous book. How majority of us, we are living as neurotics. The point of these psychologists that are several, Maslow and all this, is that they finish in Buddhism because they don't want to go to faith. And they finish always in the same way. I mean, keep in the present. Stop harming yourself. Because Buddhism gives that truth. I mean, it's a truth that the person who is in the present moment has peace because he's not thinking. The more you think, the more you suffer. But thinking is about that past and future. What they have done to me, what are they done? I mean, how people destroy their lives because of this. I mean, this anger and this resentment and this... I mean, it's horrible how many people are there. And they never forgive. So they are always harming themselves because not forgiving is always harming myself. It's not the other because the other did the wrong things. Okay, they did then. But they are not doing them now. But the person who is in the past is actualizing now the evil they have done to him and going deeper in that evil. Imagine the horrible thing that is that, no? I mean, for a person, for me, it's like, you know the expression, no? They're taking a poison and wanting that the other person die. Okay, you probably. Probably he's going to die. Or it's like, but you, but somebody put you a duck, okay, or some a knife, and you had the pain, okay, but take it out. Don't move it and complain about the other. You are moving now the knife that is in your wound, and you are complaining about the other person. No, my friend, now it's you who are doing the harm to yourself. I mean, but that is how many people are here in this problem. And the future, I mean, the anxiety is, but this is what is called neurotic behavior. It's coming out from reality. And there is even a book that is called The More You Think, The More You Suffer. But why we are there? We are there because we don't have a father, because we don't have a God that is love and is guiding my history. Because if I truly believe that God is my father, he's almighty, he has a divine providence, everything is in a plan that he has for me and for my holiness, how I am going to go to the future and I'm going to go to the past losing his will, so losing his plan for me that is his love for me and his happiness itself in the measure I can achieve in this life. Because here, this is happiness, it's the union with God. But you cannot achieve happiness in any way except in one way, that is the will of God. That is touching God through your will. And the other is how I can receive love and the Holy Spirit. Going to the past, I'm going to receive the Holy Spirit. Or Lord, going to the future, I'm going to I receive the Holy Spirit in the measure I open to the love of my Father. What is the love of my Father? What He is giving me in this moment. I mean, why? Because God cannot be found in another place than in His divine providence. But you can understand that both desire, the desire of being loved and the desire of happiness, are accomplished in one thing, that is the will of God in the present moment. In the measure I learn to open that to it, I mean, Jesus was always there. The prayer of Jesus in Gethsemane, what is Abba, Father, you are God, you are my Father, you love me. Whatever is happening here around, whatever the enemy is doing, whatever the others are doing, you are Father, you love me. And this, what is happening here, is your love for me. And He opened there to that love. How? Through His prayer. For you, nothing is impossible, but not my will, but your will. And through that will, through the obedience of that will, He come to perfection and He brought salvation to the world. Because He opened to the mystery of the love of God in the present moment. That is His divine providence. And there is any other way of finding God. The other is thinking. And you don't need any book. You don't need nothing. You need only this. There is where Mary was. There is where St. Joseph was. There where all the saints has gone. In the mystery of a love of God who is guiding your life as the good shepherd. And He's trying to bring you to a fullness, your humanity. But depend on how you open to I insist, this is reality. This is what is being given to you in this moment. And the opportunity you have as a human being for making the choice that make you the greater man that you can be. And this is always about the present, because you cannot make a choice of the past or the future. You can make a choice about how now I grow. And there is the almighty power of God is there with you. But for that choice, that is now, because His will is your growth. His will is not that He wants for you weird things. No, His will is the truth of your humanity, bringing it to fullness through the union with Him and through His love in you. But now depend on us, I mean, because as you can understand, all the Bible is about this. We'll see the mystery of mercy for coming here and staying here and not going from here. We'll see the mystery of the cross and the mystery of humiliations, and all things are for this. And the saints understood it very well. That is, I'm giving you a paper that it has quotes of saints. There are some, I mean, every saint lived his life in the divine providence. The most clear is Mary. The Magnificat is a chant to the divine providence of God, in her and in others. The Almighty has done great things for me because He has looked the lowliness of His servant. And now He begin to proclaim how God works in others, in the poor, in the little, in those who are hungry. And how He disdained the others. The Magnificat is an expression of a woman that at 14 years was totally immersed in the divine providence of God. As Jesus, we know at 12 years, He knows it perfectly. When He stay in the temple, it's for teaching us, because their parents cannot understand what happened, but we can understand, for teaching us that at 12, He was totally aware that He was here for doing the will of the Father. That's what we know clearly. Because He was a wonderful child, loving child. Nobody has loved His parents as Him. He was understandable for knowing perfectly the harm He was going to do His Father. But He wants us to know that at 12, He knows that His plan and His only holiness was doing the will of the Father. And after that, He went and surrendered to His Father and Mother, growing in wisdom, in grace, before men and God. Why? Because He was doing the will of the Father. And He sanctified more the world doing the will of the Father than preaching or taking crosses. Because the only thing that sanctifies, the only thing that brings salvation to the world is this will of God. Out of there is nothing. It's only hell, nothingness, and misery. This will is the only good that exists in the universe, because it's the fountain and source of all good. But in your life, the same. When you are looking for something that is not the will of God, okay. Is your problem. God loves you. He suffered because you are destroying yourself. But God has a plan for you that is His will. And He is not going to oblige you to come to His will, because it's a matter of love that I want His will, because in His will is my truth, is my fullness, is my love to Him and my love to my brothers and sisters. Everything is in the will of God. When we are looking for any other thing, we are here thinking out of reality, out of the misery that we are, not being able to love others, because in the moment I am living from His love, I can love others. Because love is out of reality. Love is always here and now. Something very concrete, as you know. It's not about thinking or about ideas. Love is always here and now. Have I looking to this person? Have I thinking about this person? Have I opening to this moment that to this person? This is the only thing God is asking us. And more you open to the will of God, the thing here is that the will of God has infinite degrees. So more you open to that will, more God can pour in you and give to you. Because the only thing that He wants is to give you, because He loves you. But now depend on how you are opening to His will. You don't open to His will and you continue doing your will. Okay, your problem. He suffered, He's crucified, because we choose doing not His will, but our will. This is the only problem of humanity. And that is about divine providence, about how He is guiding your life. And here is His power, here is His Holy Spirit, here is the wisdom of God, here is all the gifts of the Holy Spirit, here is everything, and out of here is nothing. It's only emptiness and void, because it's going out of reality. And this is your life, and He's the good shepherd that has come to what? For bringing to your life fullness, life in abundance. Because He loves you in a way that I give my life for my sheep, for those who are going in my divine providence. I will see that the mystery of the cross is for bringing us here. Because the cross is there, the sufferings are there, the trials are there, the difficulties are there, and are going to be there, but they are always about this moment. And in this moment, if I am opening to the will of God, as Jesus did in His passion, I can conquer everything. Because the almighty power of God is there with you and for you. But not out of His will, because I see many people coming into the confession saying, I'm praying and God, I mean, this is happening and God. I say, okay, you pray for God doing your will? I don't think that is going to work very well. You pray for you doing His will. Try that. You will see. Yes.
So doing His will in the present moment, as opposed to not doing His will, is really just that orientation toward accepting what is happening?
It's part of that setting, but also, well, there are two, yes, an interior action. I mean, the things are going to be the same. You know, Jesus was in the cross, and there were two thieves with Him. One was not doing the will of God, and the other decided to do the will of God. And he was converted and become a saint in 1 hour or 3 hours the time he was there suffering the cross. I mean, because there is a will of God for everyone. But the other was refusing it and not wanting, rejecting the first accepting himself and what he has done and the truth of his life. And second, refusing the mystery of the man who was there showing that he was God. I mean, because
it's all whether you're accepting it or complaining and fighting.
Oh, yes, it's all interior. I mean, when Jesus came, nothing changed externally. The trees continue being the trees. The animals continue being the same animals. The birds continue doing the same things that they have done for thousands of years. And the weather continue being the same, and the seasons continue being the same. When Jesus came, nothing changed. What changed? People who opened to the will of God and the power of God acting in them. And these men transformed the world. Because God is God, I mean, but God is God in His will. It's not in my will. So God came for showing us the love He has for us, that is in His Son. So as He was saying, we live from Him, and now we can love as He loves us. Because that is His commandment. But it's all about how I am coming to His will. You love me if you do my will. That is what Jesus said, I mean. And if you do my will, my Father will love you, I will love you in a deeper way, and we will manifest to you. It's the Almighty manifesting. When you go to the saints, and these things amazing that happen in their lives, it's because God is manifesting to them. And He wants to manifest to you, I mean, because He has created for that union. So you exist for living from the love of God, and you exist for the union with God. And it's very concrete and personal because it's your very life. Not our thinking, not our thoughts. It's your very life. All is in a plan of God. And whatever has happened in the past, God, that is almighty and infinite power and infinite wisdom, is guiding it now for your holiness and your fullness. Whatever has happened before. Now you can go and continue complaining about the past and going to the past. You are losing God. Yes.
Most often, and I cannot sit there and maybe I'm supposed to think, okay, is this his will, is this my will? I mean, how do you live it daily? I don't know how to live it each moment. That's where I'm
it's a matter of faith and hope and humility. It's the three virtues that you have in the introduction. It's a matter of faith, understanding that God is here and it's inside me. And he wants to work because God is everywhere, of course. But you go to St. John of the Cross, you go to Santa Teresa, you go to St. Augustine, you go to whoever saint. It's all about the action of God in us. The discernment of the spirit of St. Ignatius of Loyola is about the action of God in me. It's how I am letting God to work in me. God works always. I will give you the Holy Spirit to be always with you. I am with you always until the end of time. I mean, it's full of expression there, but God, where is God? Outside. I mean, outside has been there, always. Before the revelation of God, and God is always outside. The problem is that God is God of our hearts in the measure we open our hearts to him, and we surrender our will to his divine will, that is wisdom, is love, is truth, is life, and everything. So now all the, you know, Santa Teresa of Avila, when he begins to talk, he says, the first thing that you have to teach people when they come to prayer is that this is all for one thing, for doing the will of God. Because the transformative union with God, it's only one thing. It's having one will with him. When you have one will with him, you are transforming love because God is love. And now you are love. And that is what is a saint. It's a person who has let God to get his will and now everything is love. It's a process. We have to fight about our will and recognizing it's coming to his mercy because that doing my will is my sinfulness because my will usually is about me. But there is a God that is working in us. I mean, you know the expression that This is what is the action of God and the will of God for us. That is where he wants to bring us, every one of us. I mean, we have read this text before, but it's so powerful, so clear, so short, and so condensing everything in a few words. I mean, for this reason, I kneel before the Father. Who is talking? It's God Almighty, the source of the Trinity, the one who is giving everything to everyone in the universe, and even is the beginning of everything in the Holy Trinity, because the Son receives everything from the Father and turns to the Father in gratitude and in love, and from then is coming the Holy Spirit. But there is one that is the source of everything in the universe. I mean, in the Trinity, I'm not putting one second the other, because that is not, but it's our way of understanding it. That is the reason we studied theology, for not doing that. Because the Son is the same as the Father in power, in glory, in everything. It's a mystery. Yes, when we go to heaven, we will understand something, because it's the mystery of God. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family, the translation is three translations, every family, every communion of love, every fatherhood is coming on heaven and earth. This is the way humanity begins. When humanity is talking about love and it's talking about the sexuality, it's talking about these texts. Because we think that the plan of God is without the love of God. We are stupid. We think that we can live humanity and natural family planning without the love of God. We don't think. I mean, that is the way humanity begins when he's talking. Okay, we have to talk about love and what means love. And the first thing he did is coming to this text. How every love is coming from God. And God is love and the source of love. It's not that we have now to live humanity bothering ourselves and living a life that is horrible for people. No, I mean, it's about the love of God pouring in us. So the spouses can love each other as Jesus loved them, as God loves them. Because without the love of God, it's impossible. I repeat, this is not an idea. This is the way we are made. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. So it's receiving being. That means named in a Jewish expression. That he may grant you in accord. Meaning what he's saying. That he, the Father, may grant you in accord with the riches of his glory. What? And now begins what he's asking God. Why? Because God wants to give us these things. According to the riches of his glory. You know what is the riches of the glory? It's infinite. So he gives you accord to that riches. To be strengthened with power through his spirit in the inner self. This is the Holy Spirit, I mean. With the power of God and the strength. And that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. That you, rooted and grounded in love, may have a strength to comprehend with all the holy ones what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. So that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. It's amazing, the text. And he begins with this word because it's not about us, it's about him. Now, to him who is able to accomplish far more than we ask or imagine. How? By the power at work within us. By the power at work within us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. And it's amazing, the text. That's what God wants to do in you and in me. But it's all about, so we get it clear that it's all about the will of God. We go to Colossians, that is at the beginning of Colossians, verse 9. This is the same thing in other words. It is the same. Therefore, from the day we heard, because the letter of Colossians was written to a community that St. Paul doesn't know, as he expressed clearly. Therefore, from the day we heard this, we do not cease praying for you and asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will, that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. So all spiritual wisdom and understanding is for knowing deeper the will of God. To live in a manner worthy of the Lord, so as to be, and now he's going, what he's in the will of God, what is going to happen, so as to be fully pleasing in every good work, bearing fruit and growing in the knowledge of God. How? In his will. How am I going to grow in the knowledge of God? Is not in his will. Strengthened with every power in accord with his glorious might for all endurance and patience with joy. Giving thanks to the Father. It's all about the action of God. It's the same thing. It's Colossians. It's at the beginning of the letter of Colossians. That is talking about who is Jesus. How is he the creator with the Father. How everything has been created for him, in him, and for him. And he sustained everything in the universe. And this is the one who is wanting to work in you and in me. With a power that we cannot understand. But only in one place. Here. Because original sin is a disobedience to the will of God. It's trying to do my will and putting my will before God. You can understand. That is the root of all evil in human history. And all the root of all evil in my life is my will. And yours in yours. Because it's taking the place of God constantly. It's horrible. Why? Because the will of my Father is my fullness. He's wanting to do amazing things in my life. But I continue looking for my will and my desires and my wishes of selfishness. Because his will is love. And I insist, when Santa Teresa of Avila talk about the mystical union with God and the spiritual marriage, is this is the union I have been looking all along my life. Only one will with him. The mystic things are other things that God gives to one in one way, to other in another way, Mother Teresa in a different way, but is the doing the will of God what brings the union to God? And the reason Mother Teresa was such amazing, because he was only one desire from 5 years, doing the will of God. I never denied Jesus nothing from 5 years. I mean, wow. Why? And the reason she becomes so holy, and God was able to do so many things through her, and her power is so, her words are so powerful. Why? Because she's only one desire, God and His will. Because the only way you get God and I get God is in His will. The knowledge of God is in His will. It cannot be another way. How can be? We try to read books or to find, no, I mean, do the His will and you will know God perfectly in this life. Because He wants you to know Him. He has created you for that. The problem is that original sin is putting myself first. And that is the problem of how I now, and all the saints, all the effort that they do is for crushing their will and putting the will of God first. They don't do anything for any other thing. When they say, or suffering or dying, is because in suffering, they know that they are not doing their will because they don't want suffering. So they are doing the will of God. It's the only reason they want that. It's not because they are masochists. I mean, in that case, they will be not sane but sick. It's because they want the will of God in such a way. Why? Because they know that the only good that exists in the universe is the will of the Father. That is the beginning of everything in the universe. Everything that you can do call good is because it's created by God, so His will has created it. But now we are looking for our will instead of looking for an amazing infinite power and love and wisdom that is wanting to be poured in us. And the only thing that He wants is that you put His will first. And that's what Jesus taught us. I mean, you are my brother, you are my sister, you are my mother. If you listen to the word of God, and you do the will of God. I mean, not those who say, Lord, Lord, will go into the kingdom of heaven, but those who do the will of the Father. All the Bible is a book about doing the will of God. Why? Because all evil is coming because we are not doing His will. His will is your best. The will is that you love your wife as Jesus loved the church, but in not in an idea, in a truth, in a way of living. And I mean, it's amazing. But only God can do that. You cannot do that. It's impossible. And it's only in His will, and only can be in His will. Therefore, that we pretend and we follow our will, and now the many problems we have. And we don't teach our children to do the will of God. Look, Jesus. I mean, Jesus at 12 years, He knows, and He gives witness of that, that He knows perfectly. Who has taught that to Jesus? Because I insist, when you say Jesus was God, you are making an heresy in the total expression of an heresy. Jesus was a human like you, as me, totally. The only thing that He was not is in sin. So He learns the thing as you learn the things and I learn the things. Have this very clear. It's very important to get that when you are talking about Jesus. Don't think that, oh, but He was God. No, in that moment you are making an heresy because He is without confusion and mix His true God and true man. True man means that He is a man like you and me, even more man. So more sensible and more human and more with all his emotions and feelings more clear than you and me. Because He was more human. He was perfect human, and not mixed with the divinity. That is an heresy that the church has to fight and defend it, and saying that He has a human will, and what saves us is His human will, is not His divinity. His human will was with the person that is the divine person, of course, that is the mystery of Jesus. But I insist, it's there. And this boy, how he learned that he was there for doing the will of the Father? Through his mom and his dad. That is the way he learned at 12, that he was there for one thing, for doing the will of God. And he did it all along his life until the cross, because we were saved not by the sufferings of Jesus. We were saved by the obedience of Jesus to the will of the Father. You know that, no? It's Hebrews 5:10. And Hebrews 10:5:10. It's easy to remember because our two texts that are Hebrews 5. It's like 9:8:10. And Hebrews 10:5:10. And both say the same thing. We are saved by the obedience of Jesus. To what? To the will of God. Why? Because the Son knows that in the will of the Father is all good. It's not only good. It's the salvation of the whole world is in the will of the Father. And there are people who open more to that will, as Mother Teresa, and they can do so much good. There are other people that we open less, we do less good. God is almighty, I mean, God continues ruling everything according to a plan that He has for you, but that depends how you and me come to His will. And it's your choice. He's not going to oblige anyone to come to his will, because his will is love. And we surrender to love, or we don't surrender to love. We finish. And surrendering to the will of God, that is how we finish. We pray to the one who always surrendered to that will in a beautiful way, that is Mary. She's full of grace always, because God is always pouring graces in her, because that is what he wants to do in you and in me. But depend on us. That is the only thing. We ask her to help us to understand the precious gift that is doing the will of our Father. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and in the hour of our death. Amen. We understanding that God is in us, we are his temples. He has created this body for being a temple of God. We give glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay, we see you in the next week. Thank you.